7:21 at the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris, filling in for McGraw, who's taking the rest of 2014 off. Later on, Joe Strauss will be along to talk about the Rams and their brutal loss yesterday and what it means for the future of that team in this town. He wrote a piece for the Post-Dispatch over the weekend about how, for Stan Kroenke, it's not sports, it's not a game, it's business. And what will that mean for the future? We'll get to that. But, of course, we're also following the story of yet another missing airplane this morning, Air Asia Flight 8501, which, well, at least one person involved in the rescue says probably at the bottom of the Java Sea right now. Here to talk about this is ABC News aviation consultant Steve Ganyard. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the Big 550.
Good morning, sir.
What do we know this morning about what happened with this plane?
Well, unfortunately, even less than we did yesterday. We've gone through another full day of search out in the area in Java Sea, and we found nothing. We have no further clues in terms of radar data, and we should be at a point where the search area is actually diminishing, but today they've greatly expanded it, so a bit discouraging.
Let me ask you about a couple of things that we do know, what they mean, and one of them would have to be the call from the cockpit asking for a new flight plan that supposedly came in just before the flight disappeared from the radar. Why would a pilot do that in midair?
Well, there was a lot of weather, as we know, out in the area. It's that time of year around the intertropical convergence zone where lots of thunderstorms build up, and so these guys were picking their way around some nasty weather. They were down at 32,000 feet, and they requested a climb up to 38,000 feet and some deviations left to right, of course, to avoid some clouds. None of that is unusual. Goes on all the time, happens here, happens everywhere. All they were trying to do is keep the airplane out of clouds and provide a smoother ride for their passengers. So nothing that I know or anybody else I know is reading anything into that. It was all incredibly normal up to the point that this airplane just disappeared.
Does that necessarily mean that they were already in turbulence or that they knew that there was turbulence ahead and wanted to get off that altitude before they got into the turbulence?
Yes. So both.
It could be either of those.
Yes.
What about the fact that there's no Mayday call?
That just tells you whatever happened was catastrophic. Either it was it's hard to speculate because it just, what would bring down an airplane at 32,000 feet? Could weather do it? Well, maybe if you got into a thunderstorm and, maybe broke the airplane apart. Could a bomb do it? Yep, a bomb could do it. But it's just baffling that we don't have any radar hits. If the crew had gone in, if for some reason they'd lost control, let's go back to the Air France mishap over the Atlantic, where the crew essentially flew a perfectly good airplane into the water. But they were sending out signals all the way down as to their altitude. So if an airplane was descending out of control, we would have at least gotten some radar hits, some indications that the airplane was descending. In this case, there's nothing. 32,000 feet, and the airplane goes off the radar screen.
And if they were in heavy turbulence, they probably wouldn't have time to give a Mayday call, or would they?
In aviation, there's a saying, aviate, navigate, communicate. So that you last thing that you're going to do is tell somebody what's going on. First thing you need to do is fly the airplane. And so it just depends on what kind of workload there was in the cockpit. You remember on MH17 that was shot down over Ukraine, there was nothing because it was so instantaneous. So if there was something on board this aircraft that caused a catastrophic failure, it may have been one second you're fine, and 1 second the airplane is no longer.
Should we be drawing parallels between this and Malaysian 370?
I think we need to be careful there. We have the only real anything that we can link the two is that they're in the same general part of the world and they are both Malaysian airplanes, different airlines. This airline was actually owned by an Indonesian affiliate of Air Asia, so it's technically an Indonesian airplane. The Indonesians will be responsible for the mishap investigation. But other than that, I don't see any threads that we can draw right now. That's why we need to get to this airplane, get to the black box, and find out what really went wrong.
Americans are not familiar with Air Asia. They don't fly here. So tell me about the airline. Are they a company that's had safety problems?
They have not had safety problems. They're actually a they're sort of a startup. You might think of them in some ways as the Southwest of Southeast Asia. They've been around for at least a decade. They've had a very good safety record. They fly just the A320, which Americans fly on every day, which is a great airplane. So there's nothing that you can point to saying, oh, it's AirAsia, you know, it's a problem airplane, or we know that they've had problems in the past. That said, Indonesia, in general, has about the worst safety record in the world, right up there with Russia and a good part of Africa. So, again, lots of things the investigators need to look at, lots of questions, many of them legitimate questions, but we just don't have the kind of evidence that we need to begin to even draw conclusions at this point.
What's the problem in Indonesia?
They haven't kept their standards up. You know, it's a developing country. It's a fairly poor country. For years, their national airline, Garuda, was not allowed to fly into the United States because they did not have appropriate standards, you know, whether it's pilot training or whatever it was. But they did not meet the minimum U.S. standards. So it's a country that has not kept up with its aviation capabilities in the way it should.
So when we hear that air traffic control did not give this plane permission to make that altitude change, is that something that, again, would be a red flag for you?
No. I've spent some time flying in this part of the world, and when you fly out over vast distances, the radar refresh rate, I don't mean to get too geeky here, but the radar goes round and round on the ground, and it gives about a 6 to 8 second refresh rate. So it takes time for the controller to make sure that he's got aircraft clear of each other. So to climb and descend through other aircraft altitudes, it takes a little bit of coordination. So even if you were in the U.S. and you made that request, it may take a few seconds to even a minute for an air traffic controller to make sure that you would be clear to do that climb. So at this point, I don't read anything into that.
When you hear a story like this, oh, another plane has disappeared and more than 24 hours has gone by and they're continuing to search for it, we can't call this a rescue operation anymore, can we?
No. It's unfortunately, this is a recovery operation. It just goes back to, it's hard to fathom after we lose MH370 9 months ago. There was all sorts of talk in the industry about some small, inexpensive ways to make sure that we could track any airplane at any point in real time anywhere in the world. And there was some resistance from industry. They didn't want to spend the money. But I think, you know, now we have two aircraft in 9 months that have completely disappeared. And I think it's just unacceptable in this day and age.
That's the next-gen system you're talking about, right?
Well, you know, next-gen is very sophisticated, and that's a U.S.-only system. In the rest of the world, we're just looking at the basics. And we can do that with some satellite basic data transmission. It doesn't have to be expensive. But the flying public needs to put pressure on both the manufacturers and the airlines and governments to say this should not happen again.
Steve Ganyard, our ABC News aviation consultant, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
I'm Paul Harris, filling in for McGraw. By the way, the first thing I thought of when I heard this story was, oh, another missing plane. Somebody get Martin Savage from CNN. He's got to go back in the flight simulator. 7:30 at the Big 550 KTRS.